This is Tiger Cast, the official podcast of Princeton Athletics. Now here's your host, Craig Saxon.
A happy new year to all of you, and welcome to the first Tiger Cast of 2017. Great show today. We will have previews for this Saturday's big Penn-Princeton basketball weekend. We will have Vanessa Smith, senior on the women's basketball team. And then we'll have Stephen Cook, senior on the men's basketball team, as they look ahead to the big game Saturday. Also talk a lot about the season and some really interesting off-the-court stuff that both seniors are doing. We also talked to Bob Cerace quickly on the hiring of James Perry as the new head coach at Bryant. He certainly wanted to share some thoughts. James has been Bob's offensive coordinator basically since day one, and a really exciting time for James Perry coming off obviously the 2016 Ivy Championship season and two Ivy titles over the last 4 years. So congratulations to James Perry. It's been really a blast working with him and watching his offenses. A reminder, you can subscribe to TigerCast by searching Princeton Tigers on iTunes or your favorite podcast device. Subscribe and you'll get these weekly TigerCasts as well as any other podcasts that are sent out through the Princeton Athletic Department. We will talk about today's show or today's interviews more in depth, but a quick look at the schedule this weekend. Teams kind of far and wide, and really wide, and especially with men's volleyball. They're in Honolulu playing in the 23rd Outrigger Resorts Invitational. This is one of the really big preseason tournaments in men's volleyball, and the Tigers will appear. They'll start actually tonight, 4 p.m. Hawaii time, which is 9 p.m. Eastern time. They'll take on 15th-ranked Ball State. Tomorrow at 7 p.m. Hawaii time, which is midnight, they'll take on 7th-ranked Hawaii. And then Saturday, they will take on Erskine College. Both hockey teams are in ECAC weekends. The women are at home. They'll take on Dartmouth at 6 p.m. On Friday. And then on Saturday, the women will take on Harvard at 3 p.m., both of those games on the Ivy Digital Network. Men will have the same opponents, but they'll be on the road at Dartmouth Friday at 7, and then at Harvard Saturday at 7. Harvard, the fourth-ranked team in the country right now. That's a game you can watch on ESPN3. And certainly you remember that men's hockey team was on quite a streak going into the end of 2016. So it'll be exciting to see if they can kind of carry that into 2017. Track also in competition this weekend. Wrestling as well. They'll take on 4th-ranked Virginia Tech Friday night on the Ivy League Digital Network. And then they open their Ivy season Sunday at 1 p.m. at the Palestra. Again, both on the Ivy Digital Network. All right, let's get to our interviews and focus on this big basketball weekend. Again, the Ivy opener for both teams will start with the women. They will take on Penn faculty and staff game Saturday at 4 p.m. Certainly, if you've followed Princeton women's basketball, Ivy League women's basketball, you know how big this rivalry has been over the last few years. Last year, you know, Princeton went 12-2 in the Ivy League. Those two losses, both to Penn, including one on the final day of the season that put Penn in the NCAA tournament. Princeton became the first Ivy League men's or women's basketball team to earn an at-large bid to the NCAA. So, really the two class teams of the league. Now, this year, certainly it's a little different looking because Penn is the experienced team and the favorite coming into the year, where Princeton has been a very young team. You've seen some growing pains. You've seen some really promising signs, and this will be a big test for the Tigers at home. Now, the good thing, and I touch on this in both interviews, you know, it's a different year, obviously, because of the Ivy League tournament. And especially for the women, I think it's an interesting one because, you know, this is a team that's very young, that's finding chemistry and going to go through that Ivy League gauntlet. And, you know, they should have very little trouble remaining a top four team in the Ivy League. And it'll be interesting to see kind of where this team is right now and where they are that weekend in March when they go down to the Palestra to play for a berth in the NCAA tournament. I think, especially this year, this tournament is really going to help the women's team. But it'll be a good measuring stick to see where they are right now. I'm expecting another good game. I mean, this, like I said, a very experienced Penn team. Two top seniors returning who played such a big role in them winning last year. But now Penn kind of has to take on the role of everybody's target. You know, everybody goes for Penn now, including Princeton. So it's a little bit of a reversal of roles, and that can be a tough one to handle at times. So we'll see how it goes. Again, it's a 4 p.m. start. Princeton-Penn on the Ivy League Digital Network. And you can hear now from Vanessa Smith. Vanessa, obviously a big weekend coming up, and you know, this rivalry with Penn that's been such a big part of your Princeton experience. But, you know, let's talk a little off the court first, because, you know, we had the Achieve Serve League thing come out today, and you know, it was interesting because people, I think it's always amazing. I'm always amazed by, you know, the student athletes here, the ones that are just focused on academics and their teams. It's such an incredible time investment, and for you being involved with so many other things, especially the VSAC, how do you manage it, and how important is organization and time management just for you to, you know, not only survive but really thrive here?
Yeah, I think it's really important. Time management is like one of the things that all the student athletes here kind of excel at. But I think something that coach always says that kind of hits home is that, like, you'll prioritize things that are important to you and things that you want to prioritize. So if there's something that means a lot to me, I'm going to make time for it in my schedule. So whether that means right after practice, I'm running up to a meeting to talk about departmental changes in the anthropology department, or if that means that I'm sprinting down from a meeting about, I don't know, what have you, for the student athletic population on campus to get to practice. Like, it's just a matter of making time for the things that mean the most to me. And so outside of basketball, I'm committed to a lot of different things on campus, and it's been fun, and it's also a big part of who I am.
You know, I think people may have heard, you know, have heard about what the VSAC is, but may not understand really how important it is to all the teams here. Can you just kind of give a sense of what you do and how important it is for our student athletes?
Yeah, so I'm so grateful to be a part of VSAC, and it's such a great opportunity to represent not only my team, but just be a voice for the student athlete population. VSAC in the past, they've been really instrumental in, for example, implementing the block of time that the student athletes have for practice, where classes don't run between 4:30 and 7:30. That's something that's unique to Princeton and has been really important in my experience here as a student athlete and everyone else's. They've been in charge of a lot of administrative changes. They implemented the snack bar down here at Jadwin. So a lot of things that actually affect the experience here, not only for student athletes, but for everyone. And it's just been a real pleasure to be a part of it and be able to speak on behalf of my team and add my opinion to these conversations.
All right. We move to the court, and this season's been such a different one, obviously, yeah, than, you know, your first three, and especially the last two, where, you know, you really had the nucleus in place from the beginning, and it was about fine-tuning, and you know, obviously it ended in two straight years in the NCAA tournament. This year, after graduating those four seniors, I mean, how much of the first month, 2 months, was just really about developing chemistry, developing rhythm, everything that is so important on the court? And where do you feel like the team is right now?
Yeah, I think that, I mean, as we've been saying from the get-go, that we had a great opportunity this year to kind of rebuild our team from what we had, and we have a lot of great parts already. And so, yeah, the beginning of the season, we spent a lot of time just building chemistry and getting to know each other and working on our strengths and weaknesses. The trip that we took to Australia was really important in terms of, like, stretching our legs to see what we could and couldn't do, and how people were going to contribute this year. But from there, we've grown a lot, I think, the first few games in the season and to where we are now. We've made tremendous growth in terms of sharpening the areas that we need to sharpen and kind of just getting into our groove. And so I feel really confident about where we are, the lessons that we've learned from both wins and losses. And that's kind of just what basketball in a season is about. It's about growing each game regardless of how the score goes.
I know you dealt with an injury early in the season, but for you, especially coming off those last 2 years, like, how much have you enjoyed this season and getting to be a leader with a young group? And like you said, obviously you want to accomplish a lot this year and you have it all ahead of you, but in terms of kind of resetting the foundation for the next few years for this program?
Yeah, it's been so exciting and a tremendous opportunity. Really humbling, I think, to be a leader and have a role in, like you said, kind of rebuilding a foundation. But at the same time, we have the same traditions and the same standards that we've had in the past. And so kind of just trying to reestablish that within the younger group and bring about the expectations that we have and that we've had all along in this program has been really important. So it's been fun and it's been a privilege, and I think I wouldn't choose another group and I wouldn't choose another senior year because it's been great.
You've played obviously with some great players here, you know, and all Americans, people going on to play professionally. You have a freshman now in Bella Olari, and it's unfair to put those kinds of expectations on a freshman, but clearly, she's got some characteristics that you could see, some qualities that over a four-year span. I mean, what has impressed you most about her so far?
Yeah, Bella is an exceptional player. So great. I mean, such a good friend and teammate. I think what's impressed me the most about her is just her drive, I guess, as a player, and the confidence that she has in herself to come in freshman year and know that she can make an impact and then do her best every day to try to make that impact in practice and in games. I've been impressed with her composure throughout the season. A lot of ups and downs, but she's been pretty consistent about bringing her best, and I think that's a hard lesson to learn, and she's done a really good job of it as a freshman. And I mean, her skill set, like I said, she's an exceptional player, and I think that she's going to have a great 4 years here at Princeton.
Let's look ahead to Saturday, and it's a little bit of a role reversal for you guys, where you've always been, basically since you stepped foot on campus, Princeton's been the hunted, and Saturday you kind of get to go in as the hunter against a Penn team that is very experienced and obviously won the title last year. How much are you looking forward to that game? And you know this Penn team pretty well. What do you expect?
Yeah, I mean, I love the position that we're in right now. I love playing Penn. It's always a great challenge, and I have so much respect for their program. But I like being the underdog, I guess, if you will, coming into this game, because we're a totally different team than what they're expecting. What they're used to seeing, and so I think that using our strengths and our qualities this year, we can really surprise them and show them something that they may not be prepared for.
Does the fact that there's an Ivy tournament at the end of the year, does it take a little pressure off the regular season games? Because with such a young team, you have to feel like your potential for improvement over the next couple months is pretty steep. Maybe, you know, the steepest that any team. Do you feel like, you know, we can... You still want to win, but it's not the same level of pressure as maybe it was before?
I think that both in the regular season and then in the Ivy League play, we're still just trying to focus on the game at hand. Whether it's a win or a loss, we're trying to grow from it and move forward to the next game. So, I mean, the tournament changes things in terms of the outcome of the season and at the end of the Ivy League, who's still standing. But again, we're just trying to focus on the opponent that we're on the court with and be a better team than we were the night before.
Now we'll talk to Stephen Cook, a senior on the men's basketball team, one of the top offensive threats and somebody who's played even better over the last few weeks, averaging 21 points a game in his last four. And for Princeton, you know, this is a team that entered the season as the Ivy League favorite, but, you know, in a league that really looks like it's got a powerful four, you know, powerful three, powerful four, we'll see. Certainly with Penn and Harvard. I mean, Princeton, Harvard, and Yale. And then Penn, you know, has played pretty well, and I think Penn looks like the team that probably is going to round out that four, although, you know, certainly there's a long way to go in this Ivy season. But, you know, this will be a good early test for Princeton, a chance to build on a winning streak. And I talk about this in the interview. This Princeton team lost 2-1-2, lost 2-1-2. I mean, they've kind of gone on this little streak. They've won their last three, and now a chance with three straight home games to open their Ivy season, including, you know, one against Penn, and then, you know, next weekend one against Yale. Really an opportunity to lay, you know, a little early foundation on a big season. and a chance to establish something certainly at home. So this will be a 7 p.m. start. It's going to be on the Ivy League Digital Network and the Comcast Sportsnet in Philadelphia. So a perfect spot for Penn and Princeton fans. So again, 7 p.m. Ivy Digital, Comcast Sportsnet. Let's hear now from Stephen Cook.
Stephen, certainly big weekend for you guys, you know, starting the Ivy League. A lot to talk about basketball wise, but I did want to start with, you know, some of the off the court stuff. We've done this Achieve Serve Lead series, and you were profiled earlier for some of the work that you're doing, you know, fundraising for a project in the Sudan. And it was so interesting because, you know, we read about these things all the time, but very few actually take it upon themselves to try to make a difference here. What got you interested into it, and kind of can you talk a little bit about the project for people who might not have read it?
Definitely, yeah. So one of my friends, Jack DiMatteo, who actually goes to LaSalle University, he's the one who originally got me interested in the fundraiser, and he basically sent out an article about the hospital to a bunch of people, a bunch of my close friends, and that really got me interested. I got to see firsthand what the hospital was doing, and that really, you know, got me interested in what they were doing. I mean, they're the only hospital basically for a population of 1 million people, so it's pretty hard not to get behind the work that they're doing, and that really got me interested, and you know, really motivated me to want to do something.
Has community service kind of always been an important thing for you, or was this something that really just struck a chord?
Definitely. I mean, it's something my parents always stressed growing up. Something that I always worked on in my church community growing up, and you know, something that's always been very important to my family. So. It's something I wanted to continue when I got here, and I felt like that was the perfect opportunity to do so.
A lot of great work being done off the court. Let's go on the court right now. Team 7-6 entering the break, and so far it's been, you know, two-game losing streak, two-game winning streak, kind of back and forth. Are you feeling, because you are now kind of on a three-game win streak entering Ivy play, are you feeling like you're seeing a little more of the consistency that you feel like you need entering this Ivy play?
Definitely. You know, like you said, it's been a little up and down, but you know, we've had a tough non-conference schedule. And I think our experience so far is really going to prepare us well for the Ivy League season. I wouldn't change anything personally, and I think our approach right now, especially, has been really good. We're having good practices. You know, we're playing well on the court, and we're confident going into Ivy League.
You know, people talk about, you know, everyone wants a 14-2 record or something like that. But that non-conference, I mean, it really was a challenging schedule. You went to Hawaii, you went to BYU, and you played some really good teams. Do you feel like those tests, you know, regardless of practices and just kind of the natural evolution of getting better, but playing teams like that has kind of really accelerated the growth process?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's fair to say that the competition we've played so far is definitely above your typical Ivy League schedule and above what we're going to see in the majority of the league going forward. So I think, you know, that's the best way to prepare for an Ivy League season, where you've played the best competition, and you're confident. We've been in every game. It hasn't always gone our way, and we've made big plays and big times. It hasn't always worked out for us, but having that experience moving forward, especially with a lot of experience already on the team, that's really going to help us.
You've personally averaged, I think, 21 over the last four games, and it's, you know, around the time where you know, it was announced that Caruso and Brace would be out for the season. Did you feel like, especially with the Caruso injury, there's a little bit more of a need for scoring? That, I mean, does everyone just kind of have to take it on, and have you felt like, all right, I really need to maybe step up on the offensive end a little more?
I think everybody's kind of felt that to some extent. I mean, when you lose Henry and Hans, you lose senior leadership, and you lose guys who have contributed a lot in the past. So I think everybody, you know, myself included, felt, you know, we need to step up. Everybody needs to do more on the team, and that's the only way we're going to be successful. But I thought, you know, in addition to me, a lot of younger guys have stepped up, you know, guys like Miles Stevens and Devin Kennedy, who are now in the starting lineup. They've done a great job in their new roles, and guys coming off the bench, like Alec Brennan in the last game, they've done everything they can to help the team.
You're on break right now, so you have a little more time to practice, a little more time just with the team, and now you're also entering Ivy play. Not like December and November games were not intense, but do you feel a level of intensity going up, knowing that this is now Ivy season?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, even this week, it's Penn week. Penn-Princeton, it's always been the rivalry in the Ivy League, especially in the past. And so, you know, anytime you're playing a game like that, the intensity is always higher in practice. You know, it just everything goes to another level. And I think our focus and approach in practice has matched that.
Let's talk a little bit about this Penn team. I'm guessing, you know, we're taping this a little earlier in the week, so I'm sure you'll see more film. But early on, what have you seen? And are you, you know, you've played some thrillers with them in, mm-hmm. over the past couple of years. Are you expecting kind of another knockdown drag out?
I mean, it's Penn. It always seems to go that way. So, but, you know, what I've seen, they have some young players. They have some shooters that they'll want to get into you at times on defense. So it's kind of like a typical Penn team with, you know, a big presence inside as well. So, you know, I'm going to approach it the same way I've approached it in the past. Just do everything I can in practice to get to know their team, their tendencies, watch a ton of film, and get to know their sets. And, you know, hopefully it'll work out.
It's the first time now that, you know, you're entering an Ivy season where it's not just the 14 Ivy games that are going to decide the champion. You know, there's going to be the 14 playoff at the end. Has it changed anything about kind of the way you feel going into a season, or maybe the pressure on each game, or is it not something you even think about right now and you'll deal with it at the end of the year?
I think, you know, at this point, our approach is we're going to treat Ivy League games just like we have in the past. I mean, we're still treating it basically as we got to win every game. And that's going to put us in the best position possible for the tournament at the end. The way I and some of my teammates look at it is it's just going to be a couple really fun games at the end of the year, but we're going to, you know, take it one game at a time and do everything we can to win.
We'll round out today's show by talking to Bob Cerace, the Ivy League Head Coach of the Year, led Princeton to the 2016 Ivy League football title, 2013 as well. Three times in the last 5 years, been a finalist for the FCS Coach of the Year. And, you know, since he's been here, he's got a few sidekicks on his staff, and certainly one of them has been James Perry. And, you know, he wanted to take some time to really make some, you know, public comments about James, who he worked so closely with, and I know was just so thrilled to see James get the opportunity to lead his own program, that being, of course, Bryant up in Rhode Island. Also give some thoughts on this offense, and because it was the first time we had talked since the Bushnell Cup presentation, and also the announcement of John Lovett as an All-American, we all wanted to get his thoughts on that. So a little bit, it's a busy time. It's the middle of recruiting season, but certainly Coach Cerace wanted to take a little bit of time to you know, kind of publicly acknowledge James for all that he's done and wish him well and talk about the offense and talk about his team a couple months removed from that thrilling Ivy championship run.
Bob, with the announcement that, you know, came out a couple days ago about Bryant hiring James Perry, I mean, just let's just talk about kind of your relationship with James and how much you've seen him evolve, because when you talk about your original staff, you know, he was one of the big guys that you brought in. He was your OC kind of from day one. Hey, how excited are you for him? And B, just talk about his, you know, evolution as a coach.
Yeah, no, we couldn't be happier for James and his family. And, you know, you realize how hard it is to get one of these jobs, especially as an assistant coach. There's only two of them in the Mid-Atlantic and the Northeast at the FCS level that went to assistant coaches, and certainly James going to Bryant, I couldn't be happier for him. And, you know, John Garrett and I probably had 500 car rides together in Cincinnati, talking through philosophies and, you know, different things if we were ever head coaches. And, you know, obviously we got to line up and play them next year, but I couldn't be happier for John as well. But yeah, I'm thrilled for he and his face. He's really earned this. And when you talk about evolution, he was, you know, every other coach that I hired, I either knew them or the people that recommended them, I was really close with. And I brought a lot of people in for interviews, but I felt really comfortable, you know, with the backgrounds and everything else. James was the only guy that His interview, I thought his ideas for offensive play, his philosophy, his ability to not only run a no-huddle offense where you hit a lot of plays that work in defense, the toughness factor, and the ability to run the ball, and to run an offense where we don't turn it over. And it was certainly, we Princeton averaged about 12 the year before we got there, and less than 300 yards. And I always do all these analytical comparisons, but I do short-term and long, you know, I do a four-year study, and, you know, we've averaged three touchdowns more than that over the last 4 years. And you know, right around that 33-point a game, and about 150 yards more than that over the last 4 years. And I think as important to all the yards and points, we haven't turned it over much. And, you know, I really think it's a credit to James, the offensive staff, the players, but certainly his leadership role in that position has been outstanding.
You know, and a lot of times you and I have talked about the whole two quarterback philosophy and getting your best players on the field. And you've said it, positionless football, you know, but there's also kind of the working with the people themselves and, you know, whether it's Connor and Quinn or whether it's John and Chad, you know, of having them kind of accept their roles and thrive in their roles and not necessarily look to be kind of that, you know, glory quarterback that you see, you know, in the NFL and you know, and certainly in some colleges as well. And he's in the room with the quarterbacks more than anybody. So, you know, we've seen kind of what James does, the offenses he's put together and then some of the wild plays that he's run. And that's all fun on Saturdays. But what about the work with the players, with the personalities, you know, Sunday through Friday to make sure that they're in the right frame of mind for those games?
Yeah, you know, it starts with recruiting the right guys and, you know, James's evaluations and, you know, the things we do from a recruiting standpoint, getting the right guys is important. And then it's creativity where they know they're going to be put in position to succeed because, in the year 2000, when I was head coach at Western Connecticut, we had Matt LaFever, who was still an all-time NCAA pass efficiency leader, and Tim Yule, who's one of the great athletes I've ever coached, were both quarterbacks. And we did we played them both at quarterback in the course of games at the same time. And it really, at the beginning, was difficult on the relationship I had with both of them. And just like with Connor and Quinn, you know, they turned out to be terrific friends and we had a lot of success, but we weren't doing anything like the plays that James and the offensive staff come up with in terms of creativity. You know, this was more an offensive line coach in a phone booth thinking of ways to get two good players on the field. And, you know, I think James and those guys took it to a new level. And I think there's a trust. I think the players understand that we're going to run 90 plays during the course of a game. And if you are the starting quarterback and you're there for 60 pro-style plays, you know, that's more than most teams we play get. And if the other quarterback's, you know, doing things for 25, 30, 45, you know, 50 at the same time, depending on their talent level, you know, we're putting them in positions to be successful. And, you know, we're pretty doggone fortunate to have, you know, two of them that are going to have an opportunity to play after college that are playing with us right now.
So now, you know, obviously James heads north to Bryant, and you have, you know, a new position where you haven't had to fill. You haven't had to fill your offensive coordinator. That's basically the only spot that hasn't changed. I know Jim Salgado has been here the whole time, but, you know,
and
Dennis, that's true. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you do have a couple more, but in terms of coordinate, you know, offensive coordinator calling plays, you know, and there's a process that you'll go through. But, you know, are you looking for somebody who matches James in creativity, or are you just looking for? I mean, what are your thoughts here?
Yeah, no, if James, you know, didn't get that opportunity and he returned, you know, he was going to be a better coach as offensive coordinator, and hopefully I'm a better head coach next year. And the plan's to be better. And, you know, we aren't going to, you know, completely upset the apple cart. I mean, we were one of the top scoring offenses in the nation in the past 4 or 5 years. We've broken, you know, the Ivy League's had football for 60 years. The all-time offense, you know, came under, you know, this system. So we're not going to completely, you know, make major, major, major changes. But there are, you know, tweaks where we have to get better and continue to get better. And, you know, I know James, and James, like myself, it's a constant growth that you're always looking to get better. And we would have been doing that regardless. And, you know, I'm very confident, obviously, you know, there's a process with human resources and all that that you have to go through that, you know, that you know, with a little patience, and the next hopefully week or so, we'll be able to let everybody know what we're doing and how we're going to do it, and, you know, move forward and get our guys ready to be even better. And we're going to need to be better this year if we're going to have the type of season that I expect us to have.
You know, one thing, we haven't had a podcast since Thanksgiving. The one kind of big result that happened since then was the Bushnell Cup. Two finalists for you. Since we're talking offense anyway, you know, we talked a lot about John Lovett, but in retrospect now, having won the Bushnell Cup, having been named first team All-America, which is, you know, a pretty incredible result for somebody who, you know, is not eligible to play in the postseason, you know, how thrilled were you for both the Bushnell Cup and the All-America? And then, you know, for Huluba, a finalist and a third team All-America, so great results for both.
Yeah, no, I mean, both of those guys had, we had a lot of guys have tremendous years, but both those guys, I think, you know, the other coaches in the league and across the country recognize how well they did in terms of that. So you're thrilled about that. And, you know, I have a group of college roommates who are great guys and very sarcastic. And one of them sent me an email like, unbelievable that your backup quarterback wins player of the year. And I laugh because, you know, I say it over and over. John starts at about four different positions. You know, he's a tremendous quarterback. He's a tremendous running back. He's a tremendous receiver. He blocks, he runs, he catches. If I let him play defense, he'll have, you know, opportunities to sack the quarterback. He can long snap. He can return punts. He does literally everything. And, you know, the more he can do to help us win, that's what he wants. And we're going to continue to, you know, feed him in areas where it's going to help us be successful, because he's certainly one of the got a chance to go down as one of the all-time great players at a program that has more tradition than anywhere else. So we'll continue to do that and continue to do things with the rest of our guys on offense. But he certainly deserved every honor he's received.
TigerCast is a production of the Princeton University Athletic Department. You can subscribe to TigerCast on iTunes or catch new episodes every week by visiting goprincetontigers.com/TigerCast.